keyboard warriors, get off of your phones. Get off your computers and quit saying stuff you have no clue about. Get involved. Get on your knees and love one another. Do what God calls us to do. Be a part of the solution. Be a part of the solution. Listen. You got to listen. One of the greatest things that Jesus ever did was he's full of compassion. Right? Being so in your own boat, man, jump in somebody else's. Hallelujah. Thanks for joining us this morning for church. Last week, this is the last week for WWJU, What Would Jesus Undo? It's been an awesome series. What an awesome thing that God gave us, What Would Jesus Undo? Next week, we're going to start a new series called Unmasked. Unmasked. It's going to be awesome. Cannot wait. But let me tell you, even today, church, I hope you're ready. If you have distractions in your life right now, get rid of them. If you can, try to silence them. If you must pause and come back later, there's a strong word that you cannot miss today. Because if this doesn't transform you today, then it was all in vain. This isn't just to tickle your ears. God has given us a strong word to set the captive free, to heal us, to raise us from the dead. We need God's word today. Last week, Pastor Cody, he preached an awesome message on pride. Amen? Well done. In almost 4 years, I've seen him grow immensely, especially in his preaching. Well done. Keep it going, man. Keep it going. The best thing I could ever say is, you can out-preach me. I mean, that's the best thing. Is that not what we want for people below us, that they do better than us? That we train them up as best as we can and let them just go and let God have it? I mean, that would be amazing. You keep going. Well done. How was your Memorial holiday? Did y'all have fun? Right? Having barbecues by yourself? It's opening up, church. I don't know about wherever you're at, but Iowa's opening up even tomorrow. In a lot of places. Pray for the pandemic, that this will not hold us down. We must live again. Get back to things that we remember, but we cannot go back to the same things the same way. We must be changed. We must be changed. Well, happy birthday. Happy birthday. Feliz cumpleaños. Sí? Cumpleaños. Gringo. Right? Oh. I'm trying, man. Can you believe it's been 7 weeks since we celebrated Easter? 7 weeks. That's incredible. Pentecost Sunday is also known as the birthday of the church. So happy birthday, church. It's Pentecost Sunday. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sensationalism. Maybe you don't know this term. Sensationalism is a Protestant doctrine that spiritual gifts such as speaking in tongues, prophecy, and healing ceased with the apostolic age. They believe the power and the gifts of the Holy Spirit died out with the disciples. They say those type of things only happened in Bible times. May I say to you this morning, we still live in Bible times. The book of Daniel, Isaiah, Ezekiel, the four Gospels, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Timothy, and Revelation are not fully complete yet in their written prophecies. Yes, we live in the grace era, but church, we are still in Bible times. What typically happens to people who don't understand something in religion or in doctrine? They either don't talk about it, they ignore it, or they make fun of it, or they mock it. But not this church. At First Open Bible, we're going to discuss all we can, research everything in the Word of God, ask the Holy Spirit for heavenly wisdom, and desire all that God has for us. Acts 17:11 says this, "And the people of Berea were more open-minded than those in Thessalonica, and they listened eagerly to Paul's messages. They searched the Scriptures day after day to see if Paul and Silas were teaching the truth." This morning, let's again be like the Bereans. Let's examine Pentecost Sunday and the most important part, then we need to apply it to ourselves. Pentecost means 50th day. And it was the 50th day of Passover. Pentecost Sunday is always 7 weeks after Easter. Jesus was killed on the day of Passover, the same day that Barabbas was released. Jesus showed himself to his disciples for 40 days after being raised from the dead on Easter and before he ascended to heaven. Then 10 days after the ascension of Jesus, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit happened to 120 in the upper room. Acts 2, 1 and 4 says this. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. From Easter to Pentecost Sunday, 50 days later, we have the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Comforter, the gift of God's Spirit to be with us forever. These past 50 days in 2020 have been completely in quarantine. This is incredible. Y'all sang a song. I didn't even recognize this. Jesus gave important instructions to the disciples before he ascended into heaven. Luke 24:49 in the New King James Version says this. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. The definition of tarry is this, quote, stay longer than intended. Delay leaving a place. End quote. COVID-19 did that to us, didn't it? During this time, how many believers held on to the promise of God like Joseph did? Although the enemy intended it for evil, God turned it to good. See, how's your time tarrying the past 11 to 12 weeks when our nation has been under a pandemic been one to strengthen your relationship with the Spirit of God, or has it not been? There is no middle road with God, just so you know. You don't stay in one place. You go backwards or you go forwards. So what was it like the last 11 to 12 weeks tarrying? You see, in the spiritual realm, patience is a big part of God's process. Acts 1, 4 and 5 says this. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them to not depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. See, this is a reference to what Jesus previously said when he said in Luke 24:49, I'm going to read that again. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. So why do you think Jesus commanded the disciples to wait or to tarry for the infilling of the Holy Spirit before they moved forward to do anything for his kingdom? Think about that. Why? The reason Jesus commanded his disciples to tarry for the infilling of the Holy Spirit, I believe, is because Jesus knows the capacity of human reason, human flesh, a crooked heart, and sinful bad habits. So I say to you today, church, could God be saying to us again today on Pentecost Sunday in the year 2020, do not do anything else, church, until you're endued with power from on high, until you're filled with the Holy Spirit. 2,000 years ago, what happened at the first Pentecost? I just want to say this real quick. I'm a Pentecostal preacher in a Pentecostal church, and I want to say something to all of us Pentecostals. We are so hung up on speaking with other tongues and the gifts that we miss the real meaning of what actually happened that day. You're so interested in the gifts instead of what the gift actually was. See, every believer received a greater degree of God's manifest presence in their lives. Seriously, how many of you out there have judged another believer because they didn't speak with other tongues? You missed it completely because you can speak in other tongues, but guess what? You're prideful. You're arrogant. You think you're better than. You missed it. What would Jesus undo? A powerless church. What would Jesus undo? A powerless Christian. The Holy Spirit dwelling in the hearts of believers will answer age-old dilemmas like this. I want to be different, but I can't. I know it's wrong, but I keep doing it anyway. I'm afraid, even though I know what I should do. And how do I live completely for God? The empowerment of the Holy Spirit is the only dynamic source for all who want to live and labor for Jesus Christ. Sensationalists, you have it wrong. Dead wrong. Bereans, church, we are currently living in the era of the Holy Spirit as we wait for the return of our Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord is seated at the Father's right hand in heaven. Jesus has sent the promise of the Spirit so that through his power we can fulfill all God's will, defeat every device of Satan, see sick healed, dead raised, demons flee, and extend the kingdom of God here on earth. No matter what difficulties we may face as believers or even as a local congregation, including injustice, riots, COVID-19, God is calling us to receive today his great promise, the promise of the power from on high. Hallelujah. Remember this, 1 John 4:4. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Today, Christianity is hopeless without the person of the Holy Spirit. The church cannot be the church without God's Spirit. And you say, what? Because all you have is doctrine unless you have his presence. The degree to which you understand and experience the Spirit of God will be the exact degree to which God's plan for our churches will be accomplished. It's the same degree that goes for your personal call on your life as well. How can we expect to do something supernatural when we ourselves are not even full of the supernatural? What would Jesus undo? Natural living by the ones who should be living supernaturally. If we downgrade the Holy Spirit, worse yet, if we ignore him, or even worse than that, if we grieve him or quench him, we will end up with a modern life that is totally foreign to the New Testament. I'm preaching better than your amen, and come on now. There are too many Christians today living just like everyone else on earth. They fall into the same sins, they're gripped with the same fear and the same doubt, they're living a life full of defeat instead of the fulfillment of the spiritual abundance, there's more evidence of worry in their life than there is victory in their life. And here's the reason for that, it's because you are living without the fullness of the promise of God's Spirit. Powerless Christians living powerless lives, I believe, grieves the Holy Spirit. The great Baptist preacher, Charles Spurgeon, he admitted to this, quote, without the Spirit of God, we can do nothing. We are ships without wind, or chariots without steeds. Like branches without sap, we are withered. Like coals without fire, we are useless, end quote. Look around, church. This world needs the supernatural. Our world needs the promise of the Holy Spirit, the same promise given to us 2,000 years ago on that first Pentecost. See, the influence of filth and violence in people's lives will not be destroyed by polite talk or political agendas. The same evil influence that stirs up young people to shoot up schools or worship sin as if it's been always permissible in God's eyes is infiltrating the church. There's a divine antidote to this demonic force. The antidote and our only hope is in the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus sent the Spirit of God on purpose. He knew it would be almost impossible for us to depend on human ability. We'd have to reach out and tarry for the promise of power from on high. As we look back at the first Pentecost in the upper room, I'm not so much concerned with the individual phenomenons of the wind and the fire and the speaking in tongues as much as I am in the main truth. The truth that something supernatural came from heaven and invaded men and women on earth and changed them forever. I think we've lost the wonder of that, what I just said, because we're all so familiar with the Bible verses and the Bible story. Let's relook at the depth of the meaning of the words, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. Think about that for just a moment. All of them were filled with God Himself. See, too much of our religious life is made up of programs and human ideas, talents and strategies, entertainment and self-focus. Some of these things do have value, but they're pitifully failing to meet the need of our hour. It hurts to say this, but for many churches and for many believers all over the globe, we are living in an age of a powerless church and a powerless believers because we think we're no longer in Bible times. What is missing today is something from heaven itself. Something from God, the Holy Spirit that fills and floods our lives. Seriously, look at most of the church services we see today. Everything is doctrinally sound. Feel-good messages, mentally stimulating teachings, even fog machines. But there's nothing from heaven that grips people. When do we say, or when did God say, the church can be a TED Talk? Come on now. The New Testament church 2,000 years ago ministered regularly, having encounters with the living God. Acts 2:2. Suddenly, like a sound, like a blowing of a violent woof, wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. See, the wind found in the upper room that day wasn't a day breeze. It was violent. We need another violent wind to blow out the junk that has accumulated in our lives. We need a typhoon-like visitation of the Holy Spirit. We need major renovation of our spiritual lives, not just another time where we rearrange the furniture. See, if you can fully explain church, there's something wrong. I'm gonna pause there. If you can fully explain church, yes, I mean the service, I mean getting together, and I mean people, then something is wrong. If the church is only methodology, organized techniques, and clever advertising, it's departed from God's plan for it to exist. The church today has a theology of the Holy Spirit, but sadly has no living consciousness of His presence and power. See, theology without experience is like faith without works. It's dead. You can preach all you want about the Holy Ghost, but is anybody feeling the manifest presence of the living God? Is anything even happening? Because if it's not, faith without works is dead. It's not enough to teach and preach about the Spirit of God. We must experience Him personally in new depths, or we will accomplish very little. See, without the Holy Spirit, there is no quickening of Scripture. Worship is hollow. Preaching is mechanical, and it never pierces the heart. Conviction of sin is almost non-existent. Faith is more mental than heartfelt. Prayer meetings fade away. Church meetings become routine, and Christian people stay lukewarm at best. Please, God, send the Holy Spirit like a violent wind again to revive your people. Now I'm ready to preach. The immediate result of being baptized in the Holy Spirit is you can do something that you could not normally do before. God, by His Spirit, enables ordinary men and women to do and say things beyond their natural abilities. They become supernaturally empowered. See, there should be no human explanation for what takes place when you are touched by God in such a way. In one way or another, every man or woman, or even church, that has been used by God in a mighty way was set on fire by God and experienced His great manifest presence in a way like the 120 did 2,000 years ago in an upper room while they tarried. Can I get personal for a moment? You say, Pastor, how can you get more personal? What would Jesus undo? He would undo your crippling, sinful nature. See, repentance is vital for a move of God. Vital. You need to repent of your sins, but you also have to get rid of them as well. See, turn away, not just to cover up your sins with, I'm sorry, and I wish I didn't get caught. The reason why you are spiritually powerless right now is because you are in love with sin more than you're in love with the power from on high. You're in love with sin more than you're in love with God's Spirit. God finds you even right now. He loves you even right now where you are at. But you and your choices have quenched His influence in your life. And because of that, that's why you feel powerless, because you've chosen sin over His power. The Holy Spirit is greater than all of our shortcomings. He is greater than all of our failures. Men and women who are filled with power from on high are fully humbled because they know the true source of their strength is not from themselves. They repent from secret sins and blatant sins, and they repent from an attitude of apathy for not seeking first His kingdom. Ask the Holy Spirit right now to reveal that sin to you. Ask for forgiveness that is given through Jesus. And you can turn with the power from on high to never deal with that sin again. First Open Bible. We are gathering together again soon. 2 weeks in this building again. But spiritually, if we cannot, shall not, will not be the same as we were before COVID-19 pandemic, we need the power from on high in new depths like we've never seen before. And what you need to do, you better do that before you walk back in these doors. That is not the responsibility of a church setting. You are the church. Inside of you can be revival. Repent, turn, and allow the Spirit of the living God to infill you, to get rid of all those things, and to be endued with power from on high, to do things that you could not normally do. Because if you come back the same, you're going to have the same kind of church. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for our church and the hearts of our church, but there's more. There's way more. And the only way we're going to get more is if you seek God on your own. Then we come together and revival takes place. You wait for a service when His presence is always here. Amen. There's so many people around that are mad that we haven't been in the church, and you've missed it. You've missed it. We've never stopped church. Church hasn't stopped. It's not like we're barely hanging on, man. We're thriving. See, God wants the church and its people to be living out what they were meant to be. God wants the church to be a place of awe and wonder again. See, we need to stop rationalizing and justifying our spiritual impotence all around us. Today we're going to humble ourselves and seek God with all of our hearts for something from heaven to change us, empower us, and to move us. See, when is the last time something like this happened in your church? 1 Corinthians 14:24 and 25. But if all of you are prophesying, and unbelievers or people who don't understand these things come into your meeting, they will be convicted of sin and judged by what you say. As they listen, their secret thoughts will be exposed, and they will fall to their knees and worship God, declaring, God is truly here among you. What would Jesus undo? A lack of awe and wonder. What would Jesus undo? Our lack of trust in his Spirit. Have we lost faith in God's ability to do what he promised through his Spirit in these days? See, we can't keep selling spiritual propaganda and making the customer the king. We have to stop worrying that if we don't keep the people engaged and amused, they'll go down the street to the next church where there's a better display. See, it's no wonder we are mocked by the secular world. It's no wonder so many buildings are half empty. It's as if we're selling something we don't even believe in ourselves. There's no power, there's no awe, there's no presence, and no heart is stabbed or changed. No more. Let's refocus. Get God's perfect vision, 2020 vision. We must go back to God's patterns for revival, blessings, and successful evangelism. We must return to prayer, not only to personal and private, but also corporate and public prayer. God has promised all of us an abundant supply of his Spirit. We need rivers and floods and oceans rather than just living off meager drops from his fountain. Rest assured, church, no matter what God calls us to do, he will be faithful to equip us and empower us to do it. See, you're afraid. Even now, you're like, I can't do that because you don't get it. It is not you. It's the Spirit that lives in you. That mentality is a mentality of the world, not of heaven. Look at the misfits in the Bible. Look at the misfit preaching today. It's the Spirit of the living God inside of us that does something supernatural with the natural. But you have to allow God to do it. You must seek his face. You must humble yourself. And you must be full of his presence and not doubts and fears and your own personal agenda or worrying about what other people think. Fear is not in his vocabulary. We must take time, even on our own or corporately, to tarry for power from on high. This is our need today. Walter, will you come, please? We need clear examples of the power of God. We need continual infillings of the Spirit to meet the strong and godly tendencies of our age. There must be a deeper endowment of power to meet deeper challenges. See, the crack addict can get set free. A healed person from a disease, sickness, or even cancer. A homosexual who can realize God's untainted perfect love. A demon-filled person emptied out of evil and refilled with God. An emotionally broken person put back together again. An atheist feeling the unexplainable, tangible presence of God. We need irrefutable, brand new lives filled with peace, love, and joy from the Holy Spirit. We need you. We need you, Holy Spirit, in our lives, and not just on Pentecost Sunday. We need the presence of God. Wherever you're at in your life right now, whatever you're doing, it's time to tarry. Time to get in his presence and ask him to show you. See, a lot of us, and I've been here before, we you feel like God hasn't spoke to me in a while, that's because you didn't do the last thing he told you to do. Ask God to reveal that to you again. How can he give you an assignment? How can he trust you with something when you didn't even do the last thing? He says, if you're faithful with little, you can be faithful with much. He will trust you with little, then he'll trust you with much. But a lot of times we just think, God's just supposed to give me that next thing. Our relationship with God is so selfish. Who am I, God, that you would be mindful of me? Who am I that you would fill me with this presence? Who am I that you put me in a position to speak, to do, and to be your child? See, he loves you. He sets you free. See, accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior is the most important thing. It's the first thing, but it's not the last thing. And too many churches have sold Jesus as if he's the beginning, you know, and he's the ending. And he is the beginning and the ending, but he sent another, the Holy Spirit, to come and fill you so you could be the church. Even Jesus himself said, even greater things will be done with us than he did. Why? Because he believes there's an army, a church army out there full of the Spirit of God that can do and accomplish things that nothing on earth can explain. Pentecost. Do you desire power from on high? Here's the first thing is, Jesus said this. You can't have that unless you die to self. You literally have to say, God, here's everything of me. Here's my dreams, my hopes, my aspirations. Here's even my family. Here's what I've been doing. Here's my bank account. Here's my emotions. Here's my feelings, insecurities, strengths, talents. God, here it all is. I literally give it all to you. Do what you want with this. And you step back and allow him to move you. I believe there's more missionaries sitting in a church than should be. Because you know you've been called, but you won't go because you think of yourself more than you think of what God has asked you to do. There's more preachers, more evangelists, more teachers sitting in these pews all over the world that need to listen to the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit because he's calling you. He's calling you to more. I'm going to pray for you. We're going to tarry. I'm just going to ask God to do what he wants to do. I don't know how to close. I literally didn't write a closing for this because I want God to close it out. Spirit of living God. Father, we repent. We repent for what we've made it. Repent of our relationship with you. Repent of what we've made church. And God, as we have been in our own homes doing our own things, God, I pray that we haven't been selfish for so many weeks. And if we have, forgive us, God, forgive us. Fill us again right now. Allow us to do something supernatural we could never do before. Allow us to be filled with your presence right now. If you're at home or even in the sanctuary, wherever you're hearing this, repeat after me. God, I give you my life. I give you all of me. Please forgive me my sins, my apathy, my selfishness of what I've made it. This is all about you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, I invite you now to come and fill me with your presence. Make me, mold me, shape me, send me out. I just make that real with you and him. Just talk to him. Talk to him where you're at. The whole Holy Spirit convict you of things. If there's something that comes to your mind, just ask him to forgive you. If there's something that you need to do, write it down. If there's something that he's talking to you about or a vision that he's given you, write it down. If there's something that he's saying to you, just listen. If the presence is so powerful that you can barely stand or you can barely be where you're at, just allow him just to overflow you. It's like a river of living water that can rush from you. Let it just wash you. Let his word wash you right now. Let it just take place. Let his spirit just speak to you. Thank you, Father. Here we are. We're tarrying before you, God. We're waiting longer than expected in a place where we honor your presence. Pray for every church all around the world that we're not people of pews, but people of your presence. That yes, we look at doctrine, but it doesn't oversee or supersede our relationship with you or even listening to the presence of the Holy Spirit. I'm praying for all of Protestant and even maybe Catholic religions right now that have said that they've kind of had the attitude of a sensationalist, that these things happened in Bible times. Let their eyes be open to what is happening all over the world. There are miracle signs and wonders happening all over. We even had a miracle here in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. May we recognize that's just not a fluke or coincidence. That's the presence of the living God. Like 2,000 years ago, it exists today, and that your presence hasn't left or didn't die out with the disciples. It still continues today, that we are supposed to desire all the gifts. Supposed to desire your presence, God. And here we are, and we desire you more than anything. Fill us and change us. God, I don't want to open these doors, and if you tell me, we won't. I won't open them until the time is right, till God's people are ready, until we can honor what you've asked of us. We can come in here, people of your presence and your word and your power, God, because if we do that and we do come back, I believe there will be revival. There's no other chance for anything else. Pray for everybody who can hear me right now as I close. Spirit of God, may you talk to each and every person today. I invite you to help them push away the noise. To hear your still small voice all day long. Allow them to think and do things they've never done before. Allow them to be generous beyond they've ever been generous. Allow them to be full of compassion where they've never been full of compassion before. Let them see other people's lives from a different point of view. May you take away the selfishness of who we are and all the desires of that we want. But God, we are givers. We're supposed to give our life away. Let us hear you. Love you, worship you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Thank you for joining us for church today. Please pray for one another, lift each other up, reach out to one another, be filled with the presence of the Spirit of the living God. Go and be the change the world needs, because greater is he that's in you, He that's in the world. We love you. It's bye for now.